Amen. Well, I'm thankful to be here today. I didn't quite know how this week would turn out. Of course, we never do. That's why we always say, if the Lord wills. But I didn't know what was going to be going on, because earlier in the week, we had a phone call saying that Shirley's mother, my mother-in-law, was dying up in Eau Claire in the hospital, and she'd lost her ability to swallow. She's 85 years old. That she had lost her ability to swallow, and it looked like she wasn't going to make it, and so people were being called together. So we went up there, and Shirley and I went in where she was, in the hospital, and we could hear her down the hall. She was saying, "Praise the Lord, Jesus, 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 hallelujah, praise the Lord." Could hear it all the way down. You know, she was right by the nurse's station, too. So that was good for them to hear all that. So we went in to this dear dying woman, and I took one hand and Shirley took the other hand, and we both prayed for her. And shortly thereafter, she got her swallowing reflex back. And then she ate most of her supper. And the next morning, she ate her whole breakfast, every crumb. Everything cleared up. As far as the pneumonia, she had pneumonia, she had thrush from antibiotics, she had all this stuff. I always rebuke the antibiotics. Yes. Amen. Yes. Praise the Lord. The great physician is not some person in this world. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is still the great physician. So consequently, they released her from the hospital. And it looks like all is well. The Lord's given her some more time. Amen. So we believe in miracles. We do see them. And I believe in true miracles. I believe in the true gifts of the Spirit. I believe it's just as the Bible says, you read it at the end of the book of Mark, "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils." Amen. "They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents." And of course, I don't mean you handle snakes. I'm talking about the spiritual serpents. And believe me, there's a lot of them out there. Amen. "They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Well, amen. You see, the Lord never stopped working. People stopped believing. That's the problem. People stopped aligning themselves with the Word of God. Consequently, churches have become something other than the church of the living God. Now, I understand, and I know, that every minister standing in a pulpit anywhere across this land is presenting some kind of a Jesus, but not necessarily the one of this book. And I am a firm believer in this King James Bible, that it is absolutely without error, without flaw. There are no contradictions in it. There are contradictions in people's heads. And who is man to try to rewrite and edit and change anything? I talked to a Catholic priest one time. That's always quite an experience. Talked to a Catholic priest one time, and he said, "The Catholic Church produced the Bible, therefore we reserve the right to edit the Bible." Well, that's what you call being wrong at both ends and in the middle too. No, this book is bigger than us. We are to align ourselves with it, subordinate ourselves to it, and let the Spirit of the Lord work in us. Amen. Now, what I'm going to do is pray one more time as we go into Revelation chapter 17 to begin with. And would you pray with me as we call upon the Lord? Father in heaven, we are so very privileged and thankful and honored to be able to open thy holy book together and to know that thou art with us, that thou wilt meet us on the pages of this book. O Lord, that thou wilt do a work in us. O Lord, that we might be made strong in thy spirit and in the power of thy might. O Lord, by thy mighty name we call upon thee, even the saving name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, I pray that thou wouldst help us and draw us nigh unto thee. Give us victory in the Holy Ghost. Quicken us, Lord. Give us ears to hear. Help us to be moved today by thy Spirit and by thy word. Oh Lord, that as we go out these doors later on, that we would be changed and drawn closer to thee and made better because of this experience. Oh Lord, I pray that thou wouldst drive away every devil. I come against every evil spirit right now with the power of the blood. I break all the powers of darkness. I break every hex, vex, and curse. Everything that would be sent against thy word, thy people, thy kingdom. O Lord, thou hast given us liberty in the blood of Jesus. Now give us victory through faith. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we ask it, and through the power of the blood. And let the evil one have no power to interfere. Amen. Amen. Never stop fighting the devil. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. What wonderful words those are, because it shows us that our God is in control. Somebody said to me one time, I'm so worried the devil's going to kill me. He's going to kill me. I said, well, are you a Christian? Are you born again? Have you been properly baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost? Well, yeah, but I'm afraid the devil's going to kill me. I said, the devil can't kill you. He said, why? I said, because if he could, you'd be dead already. Jesus said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and of death. Amen. Who's in charge of death? The grave. Eternity. Our Lord and Savior has the keys. The devil can't kill you. Amen. You're in the hands of the Lord. All right? Some people have trouble figuring that out, but it's true. The devil can only go so far. And it seems like he has free reign in this world. See, we're living in that strange, peculiar time right now where he's been loosed for a little season, and he is running rampant throughout the world. What is one of the signs that Satan has been loosed? Remember, before, this is all preliminary before I start reading, but before Jesus came the first time, there was always a one-world government. There was the Empire of Egypt. There was the Assyrian Empire, the Babylonian, the Medo-Persian, the Grecian, the Roman. All of them controlled the known world. Always a one-world government. Then Jesus came. Then came the gospel, his death, his burial, his resurrection. He poured out his Spirit all during the days of the Roman Empire. Of course, Daniel 2:44 says, in the days of those kings, meaning one of those empires, that the kingdom of God would be raised up, a kingdom that would never be removed. And he did raise up his kingdom and his people and still has his remnant. Since Jesus came, there has never, ever, in 2,000 years, been a one-world government. We almost have one now. Almost. Almost. But it's not going to work. You know why? Because the feet of it are iron and clay mixture. And there is a rock that is cut without hands that's going to hit that thing, and when it hits, it's going to all come down and be destroyed and be as the chaff of the summer threshing floor, and the wind is going to take it away. The kingdom of God stands forever. Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords this morning, right now. And that is exciting, isn't it? So, they have never had a one-world government since. They have attempts. They rise up and they fall. Today is D-Day. Well, the anniversary of it. Remember that? And that World War II, which was the world war that wasn't supposed to be, because World War I was called the war to end all wars. And the whole world was astonished and stunned that there was a World War I. And when it was over in 1918, they had this Versailles Treaty that came forth. And of course, they set up the Danzig corridor in Germany, and they put all kinds of restrictions on Germany and everything. And when Lloyd George of England came out of the conference at Versailles, they asked him, what was accomplished here today? And what did he say? War in 20 years. 20 years later, in 1938, Hitler launched his Blitzkrieg, right? Went into Poland. Of course, Stalin attacked Poland too, but he was never blamed for that. Stalin did more damage in Poland than Hitler did. But you didn't hear about that because the news is managed. Anyway, there was another horrifying war, World War II. And then the United Nations was set up. The framework for a one-world government, without a doubt. If you go to New York City and go over to the east side in Manhattan, near the East River, you will see that monstrosity. It's still there for a little while. Just a little while. And it's got all the flags out in front of all the nations. It is the framework for a one-world government. Ein Volk, ein Reich, ein Führer. Ronald Reagan died. As the moon was full and beginning to wane, he died. Right on my birthday, June 5th. Ronald Reagan, of course, was esteemed to be the great destroyer of communism, and yet we know he was a card-carrying member of the Communist Party. Ronald Reagan is one of the presidents, one of the men, who was responsible for firmly establishing communism in the United States such as it exists today. We have communism here. They just haven't told you yet, but it's here. And the tentacles of its control are ever increasing in their tightness of grip. And you will see it. We have lost more and more and more liberty and more freedom because this illuministic, communistic, communism exists in our country. And great and amazing things are about to happen. You know, we had this big explosion over Seattle a few days ago at the time of the full moon. See, all this is, some people say, that's all coincidence. Huge explosion in the sky lit up the whole sky over the Puget Sound from Seattle down to Tacoma. And the government said it was probably a meteor. I happen to know meteors don't come down and explode like that. They hit with quite an impact, but they don't explode like that one did and then have this bright light flash all over the place. There are atmospheric antics going on right now. There are signs. These illuministic powers are bringing forth their arsenal of things we don't realize they have, although we find out, don't we? And there will be more of these. There is going to be an intense, amazing amount of things coming upon this nation because this nation has forsaken God. This nation has risen up in defiance against Him. This baby-killing nation that allows queers to get married. This system of governance that wants to license all religions and control them absolutely. But I've got news for you. God has a people, a remnant, who will not line up with the beast system, with the powers of Antichrist, who will say no to all of it, because we know and we believe and we stand firmly upon the promise of our Savior, "Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." They have their whole GPS thing going. You know, now they're running these advertisements for Coca-Cola. Or if you get this special can of Coke, and I have this in my newsletter, I do believe I put that in there. They're running this promotion for Coca-Cola right now. If you have a special can of Coke, then the satellite will find you. There's a little RFID in the can. Radio frequency ID. And if you're a winner in this contest, you know what they say in the ad? You don't find us, we'll find you. Well, if they can find your can of Coke, They can find a whole lot of other things. Walmart, this big conglomerate, which is a part of the beast system, it is illuministic. The Walmart Corporation is Masonic. It is illuministic. They are the retailer of choice to become the purveyor of the mark itself, I believe. They're using this RFID thing. They're everywhere. Their ads are all over the radio. Everybody's supposed to love Walmart, love Walmart, love Walmart. Last year when they were giving out all these flu shots, the oral vaccine, where do you think they were distributing it for the most part? At Walmart's. Sam Walton was a 33rd degree Mason and a Scottish Rite. And no doubt his corporation has been chosen. They're springing up everywhere. Even Mexico has been taken over by Walmart. So we see that this buying and selling concept is being controlled. There is a hell's commerce. There is a new economy. There will be a new money system. It's in transition right now. It will be strictly electronic. They already have the little things you can slip over your finger. Little device, and you can go in and you can point at all the things you buy, and it registers everything for you. In fact, you can buy them now. They're for sale. And then at the register, you just point at the little reader and click, and it takes it out of your bank account. You don't have to scan all the groceries. That's been done already on the shelf by your finger. So this is all out there. We know this stuff's going on. We're hearing more about that all the time. And we're going to look at a subject today that I believe will help us. Because it will put within us, if we hear it, it will put within us not only the desire, but the longing for our Lord Jesus to come, and also put within us the strength and the fortitude that we need to endure until He does come. You see, if you know these things, you know something that almost no one else knows. If you understand the time in which you live, Jesus stood one day and He looked at the city of Jerusalem and He cried out and He said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thee as a chicken gathers her little ones, her little chickens, under her wings, but ye would not." He pronounced their house desolate. That temple, that first temple, Jesus said, "Your house is left unto you desolate." And why was all of this spoken? He said, "Because ye knew not the hour of your visitation." You didn't understand the time in which you were living. Jesus looked at the Pharisees one time and said, "You hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky. How is it that you do not discern this time? How can people be living in the time of the signs and miss the whole thing?" Because their eyes are blinded, their spiritual eyes. And the Bible says that the God of this world has blinded their minds. The movie stars in Hollywood have all run to the Kabbalah houses. You know, they got this Kabbalah, Jewish mysticism book. And they go and they learn the ways of the Kabbalah, the mystic interpretations of the numbers. And they say they use the Bible. And they go through this whole, it's all witchcraft. And people like Madonna, Britney Spears, and all these others, they go running into the Kabbalah house. That's where they have their little worship time. And the devil meets them there, without doubt. The witchcraft, the astrology has sprung up in our country. Harry Potter, J.R.R. Tolkien, C.S. Lewis, Star Wars, which was written completely in witchcraft jargon. All these things have risen up in a very short period of time. What's going on? I think you know And I think I know. And I know that God knows. Let's look at Revelation 17. We're going to call this message this morning, The Spirit of Babylon. In Revelation 17, 1, it says, And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Now the Bible uses very precise terms here. And incidentally, there are two kinds of vials in heaven. There are vials that fill up with the prayers of the saints. That's why we need to be praying. Prayers are cumulative. None are wasted. They build up and they build up and they build up. They accumulate. You might say, I prayed and I prayed, nothing happened yet. Then you need to pray some more. The vial isn't full. Huh? How do you know when the vial is full? The answer comes. The devil doesn't want you to understand that, but it's pretty basic, isn't it? Oh, but I prayed and prayed and prayed. Well, maybe the vial's a little bigger than some. Well, I don't know, but keep praying. Your answer will come. He's a prayer-answering God. But anyway, it tells us here about this great whore, this seducing, flirtatious, ungodly woman, and it's not talking about a woman in particular, but a system, a religious whore, a system of religion, of churches, of churchianity, of a satanically controlled enterprise and franchise system. Maybe it goes by many names. And of course, it all has to be U.S. government inspected. Right? That's why all that baloney is coming out of the churches. Government always inspects baloney, doesn't it? So that's why you got to sign that little card and join up that 501c3, because the baloney inspectors then can keep an eye on you to make sure that your baloney stays baloney and that you don't preach the truth. Because as soon as you preach the truth, what's going to happen is they will get you for violating what they call public policy. Well, what is public policy? That's what they call it. The government calls it public policy. What is public policy? Public policy is to sin. Now, are we going to oppose sin? I stand in absolute opposition to public policy. Of course, I didn't sign their little card. And I'm not here preaching baloney. I'm here preaching the Word of God. Something they don't care to inspect, but rather rise against it and come against it. So we will give them something to listen to. You know, some people say, oh, they can hear you. Don't you realize they can hear you? One time I stood at the front door of the Tomb of the Skull and Bones at Yale University in New Haven, Connecticut. And I stood there with Diane and my wife and LaVon praying. My eyes were closed. I was calling upon the name of the Lord. I could see their little eye up there hidden. They weren't even good at it. Of course, I used to be involved in security systems. I at one time was a registered master locksmith. I've shut all that down. I'm too busy working for the Lord. But I worked for the University of Wisconsin system. I understand surveillance. I know how it works. And the proximity things and all that. They had all these different things going on. And I was standing there praying and knowing full well they were listening to every word, watching every motion, and I was standing there just praying and praying, and then when I looked up, there was a man staring. He was this far from my face. That's a rush, you know. Because this guy was not he was not anything to look at, put it that way. This guy was so ugly, I think that if he cried, the tears would roll up over the back of his head, come down his neck, just to avoid having a look at his face. He was really bad. And looking right at me. And he said, why do you pray at the Tomb of the Skull and Bones? I said, because of all the evil in there. Amen. Amen. And don't you know they're watching you? Don't you know you're being listened to? Oh, yeah. That's why we give them something to listen to. You see, these computers and these monitoring systems that watch us, They're programmed to pick up certain buzzwords and then all hell breaks loose. You say certain words and the computer starts going wild. And the little diodes start blinking and all kinds of stuff. And so what you need to do is give them something that their computer doesn't like. Same thing with the telephone. If you know that you hear a change in the impedance on there and that you know you're being listened to, then fine, you've got their ear. Now let them have it. Tell them about the blood of Jesus, the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let them listen. They won't listen for long. It'll drive them nuts. Those spirits in them can't stand it. Well, amen. So anyway, let's read on in here. I'm just kind of wound up today because I know the Lord's coming and I see a lot of things are happening. And so it tells us there's this great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Waters here, of course, refers to many people. If you read later on, it'll tell you that the waters are the nations, kindreds, tongues, and peoples. The Bible interprets itself. So there's a sea of humanity. And notice now, it says, with whom the kings of the earth, except for the United States. Is that what it says? I just want to find out if you're listening. Huh? With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. Do you know where the president was this last week? He was over there in Rome visiting that old fossil, the Pope. Every time I look at something like that, I think, oh. You know, I remember back to when John the 23rd died and Walter Cronkite came on. Remember Walter? Red Walter? Huh? He was a commie too. Walter Cronkite came on and he said, the head, well, he said it very, you know how he was. He had that little mustache. And the head of the church is dead. So said Walter Cronkite. When the Pope died, he said, the head of the church is dead. Huh? What did Jesus say? Who's the head of the church? I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and of death. Popes come and go. Popes come in there and they assume room temperature and they put them in a box and shuffle them out. But Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And he is alive forevermore. Amen. You know, the current Pope, John Paul II, came in by usurpation. John Paul I, remember what happened to him? They had their little election and the white smoke came out of the chimney. They said, we have a new Pope. And 33 days later, precisely 33 days later, he was dead. He died on the 33rd day of being Pope. Very short tenure. They killed him. When he came in as Pope, he spoke against the Masons. He didn't like Masons. Masons didn't like him. And so they carried him out. And John Paul II came in. The third longest tenure of any Pope. And of course, this one went to India so that a Hindu holy man, as they're called, put the mark of Shiva, the snake god, on his forehead. Did you know that? He's the Pope that met with the Trilateral Commission, with the CFR. He's the Pope who put up an observatory down there, I believe it's in Arizona or Southern California, and built this huge observatory owned and controlled by the Vatican, the Pope Scope. Because they're a little worried that the Lord may come back and they want to try and get some advance information. Oh, there's all kinds of things like that. All kinds of things going on. There are many antichrists whereby we know it is the last days. These are the last days. Well, praise the Lord. And so it tells us. Oh, incidentally, did you know the new government in Iraq, as they call it? It's kind of interesting because Rumsfeld announced that the new government will have absolutely no veto power regarding the military operation. Now, what good is a government that doesn't have any control over any military operation? It has no muscle. It is a weakling. It is a 97-pound weakling of a government. Has no control, which means that George W. Bush remains the king of Babylon. The de facto king of Babylon. But they appointed a government to begin the last day of June, and it has precisely 33 members. It is a 33-member government. Rumsfeld said, our job now is to protect the government of 33. What's wrong with that number? Well, it's the big sacred number of Freemasonry, Scottish Rite. It is the, actually I should say Freemasonry, because really that's the, whether it be York or Scottish, 33 is their sacred number. When you go in that house of the temple in Washington, D.C., which is precisely 13 blocks from the White House. Another coincidence, huh? 13 blocks from the White House, you'll find there's a room in there with exactly 33 chairs. And before anything reaches your Senate, well, it isn't really yours, people ask me, what do you think about Congress? I think it's the finest Congress money can buy. But before anything hits that Congress, it goes into the Masonic House of the Temple, 13 blocks away from the White House. There it is approved or disapproved, and you're not going to get anything through there that doesn't first go through the Council of 33, the Freemasons. Or that doesn't go through, and of course that council is called the Grand Masters, or the Grand Druids, the Council of 13, or the Rothschild Tribunal, the three Rothschilds. Or that isn't approved of by that I. You know, they always say the eyes have it. That I in the triangle there. I'll tell you, it is a wicked system. The only place you've got to turn to is the Lord. I've told you different times, I don't know if everybody's heard about this, but I'll never forget. It sent a chill down my backbone. When I was in that Capitol building and I looked over toward the door of the Senate side, and there was a guy in there that belonged on the other end. His name was Newt Gingrich. And he and these other guys came out of that door. The door swung open, bang, out they came, about seven bodyguards and associates. And here's Newt Gingrich there. And he walked right up, and I looked at him, and he stopped, and he looked at me, and our eyes locked. And I'm telling you, it was like looking into the Grand Canyon. There was something so evil about that man. There it was, Eye of Newt. Huh? And I looked at him, and he looked at me, and then he quick snapped his, he probably had to see the chiropractor the next, he snapped his head back and went on. And I prayed, my wife was standing next to me, and I prayed, and I told her she wasn't facing him. She was like here, and he was, her back was to him, and he was looking right at me, and we locked eyes. I'll tell you, I prayed, I asked the Lord to remove him. Lord, remove him from office. This man is vile. It was just a response in me from having been, it shook me up. There was something so vile, so terrible in that man. 33 days later, he resigned. Gave no reason for it at the time. And he was out. God does hear and answer prayer. You know, we can all do that, you know, if by faith as the Lord directs us. Not haphazardly, but as God moves upon you. We must fight these battles. Abortion clinics can be closed. Operations of the government can be stopped. Read it in Hebrews chapter 11. Through prayer they subdued kingdoms. Now prophecy must be fulfilled. And various things that we read about will happen. No matter what you do, you have to pray in God's will. But all in due time, all of it's going to fall. Praise the Lord. Now, I want to continue on here because we have some material to cover. Praise God. And so here's this great whore, this streetwalker, this seductress, this seducing woman who gets herself all dolled up and decked out. You know, I've heard of extremes before. Remember Lucille Ball? course, she had red hair, but that wasn't the only thing about her that was red. She was a communist. Did you know that the Communist Party of America held their meetings at her house? Of course, she married that Cuban, you know, Desi Arnaz. But when Lucille Ball was dying, she had a heart attack, massive heart attack. And they came in and the sirens were going. They came to pick her up. And she refused to go with them until she had put her makeup on. Here her heart is going like this and she's gasping for air and she's putting her makeup on. You can't go to the hospital without makeup on, huh? Had to paint the old barn one more time. And so she went to the hospital, did surgery on her, and then after that she had another heart attack and died. But she had to have that makeup on. Why? There's certain spirits that require it. If some people say, well, I don't care, makeup doesn't mean anything to me. It doesn't? Well, then let me take it away from you. It doesn't mean anything. Let's see how you howl. Praise God. I believe that God gives His women an amazing beauty that shines forth from their face without all of this paint and foundation and almost sounds like a ski report, like Tammy Faye Baker, remember? Yeah. Huh? You could give a ski report when you look at her face. There's 2 inches of base and 3 new inches of powder. Right? But you know, God gives you a beauty. Moses looked at Israel and said, "The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace." We are to reflect His countenance. People are supposed to be able to see something in you. I've had people look at me and look into my eyes, and they were scared to death at what they saw. They were full of devils, and they ran. I've had that happen numerous times, down in Madison on State Street, different places I've been to, in the prisons, as I ministered there, different times. People look at my eyes and run. I know I'm not anything to look at, but don't think I scare people away. It isn't me. But it's got to be the Spirit of God in me, and the Spirit of God in you must shine forth and glorify Him. But this particular harlot is a system that seduces people, draws people. And it tells us in verse 2, as I read, with whom the kings of the earth, the leaders, have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. The wine of fornication produced a drunkenness. Did you ever see a drunken man or woman staggering around? Huh? Our nations are staggering under the intoxicating effects of this wicked religious system. For you see, it's not just geopolitical. It is that. But there is a power, a religious power, an ecclesiastical power. Satan wants to be God. He wants people to be religious. Amen. Satan is a very religious being and wants to be worshipped. In fact, he insists upon it. That's why he developed all this religion out there. That's why it is as it is. A religion that you can go into no matter where you go. There are certain common denominators. Why you could go in with the Baptists or the Methodists, Episcopalians. They're going to have the Kabbalistic Tree of Life. They're going to have a labyrinth on the floor. They'll have be teaching Harry Potter in their Sunday schools because children learn to read so well. Have you ever heard that excuse? Oh, these children need Harry Potter. They'll sit down with an 800-page book and read it. That it helps them to read this witchcraft, you know. Well, you know, you could make that case and say, well, you know, the Playboy magazine helps men to read. Huh? Well, they'll sit down for hours with that thing and read. And read and read. Or look. Whatever the case may be. But to give them anything like that, give them that Harry Potter or this kind of thing, or show them the Lord of the Rings movies, and of course the Passion of the Christ, it falls into the same category. It was full of witchcraft. Mel Gibson's Passion. What a deceptive thing. And churches rent entire theaters, block booking, and just brought all their people in to see all of this. This, they paid their 30 pieces of silver and went to see their two-dimensional facsimile of Christ. And anybody who tries to play the part of Jesus Christ is an antichrist. I don't care if it's a passion play or on the movie screen or whatever it is. Nobody can play the part of Jesus Christ. Oh, I know, I probably sound like a renegade to some people. Some kind of a maverick, some kind of guy that, boy, what happened to you? I'll tell you what happened to me. The power of God came down and converted me. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, red, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color. Of course, the colors of Roman Catholicism, aren't they? And decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. A cup full of filth that all the kings of this world are so willing to drink from. Of course, our president was over there visiting this guy. Gave him some kind of an award, didn't he? Gave this pope some kind of freedom award or something like that. And you know, before you can have an audience with a pope, you have to bow the knee to him. That's required. So we know that Dr. Bush, you knew about that, didn't you? The University of Louisiana awarded George W. Bush an honorary doctorate of science. And there he stood with a robe, and they put the hood over his head, a hooded robe, and made him a doctor of science. Remember the Wizard of Oz? I can't give you a brain, but I can give you a diploma. Huh? This man was a C-D student, leaning heavily toward D, at Yale University. But because his name was Bush, and he was an illuministic family member, and they needed the chair, they graduated him. Wouldn't you think that his alma mater, words that are Latin that mean bountiful mother, Mother Earth, you know, alma mater, wouldn't you think that his alma mater, Yale, would have given him that doctorate? Now, they're not about to give a guy like that, a CD student, a doctorate. Not Yale. They send him to Louisiana to get it, where that hardly counts, you know? And they put the hood on his head, and now he is Dr. Bush. That sounds good for the election, doesn't it? Well, I don't care who you vote for, if it's Tweedledee or Tweedledum, it doesn't matter. Remember back when it was Richard Nixon and Hubert Humphrey? It was Tweedledick and Tweedledumphrey back then. It's still the same today. It doesn't make any difference. When it was Jimmy Carter and Gerald Ford, what do you want for president, peanut butter or jelly? Remember? They had all these things. Nothing changes. It all continues on like it was. There's nothing is going to change anything. Because all of them have drunken from the cup of Babylon, of harlotry, and they are intoxicated with a satanic system that has permeated through their being, through their soul, and they are willing stooges for the Illuminati. Every one of them. And so, there was upon her forehead, of course she was all bejeweled and decorated up, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration, meaning he was actually in shock over this. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her. Not only is she a harlot, but she is riding on a beast, a red beast, a scarlet-colored beast. This means this whole religious movement is riding on a geopolitical power. And people have speculated, is the rider controlling the beast or is the beast controlling the rider? And I can tell you very quickly that later on it tells us, the beast shall hate the whore and burn her with fire. The beast turns against its own rider. And at the very end, the doctrine of Lucifer rises up and becomes universal under the Antichrist. Folks, that's happening right now. Have you noticed that the Roman Catholic system's in a little trouble? They can't find enough priests to go around. They had, you know, the priests, there were a lot of priests out there. They had a little bit of a shortage for a while, but now there are so many of them that have been charged with these acts against the altar boys and so forth. See, that's always been a problem with the Roman Catholic Church. They don't know how to separate the men from the boys. But they had so much trouble, so many problems, so many lawsuits, gone into bankruptcy, entire diocese gone into bankruptcy. What happened? I believe the beast hates the whore. Right now, it's all happening before our very eyes. But there's a strange phenomenon that I've never been able to figure out. When things happen right before the eyes of the people, they miss it, and they look back and see it later. Oh, yeah, that's right. Jesus said, watch and pray. We're supposed to see it as it happens. He told us in John chapter 16, he would show us things to come. How does this apply? If I can't take my Bible and lay it up against the current events and figure things out, what good is it? I am to watch and to pray. And as I pray, I will watch. And as I watch, I will pray. And let it move me and motivate me and quicken me and make me alive, knowing that I'm one of the children of the last days. Very soon it's over and there will be no more. Glory to God. When that last trumpet sounds, he that is righteous will be righteous still. He that is filthy will be filthy still. It's going to be over. And no way for any more conversions. Praise God. Repent ye therefore. Amen. And be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Well, let's turn back into the Old Testament for a few minutes. And we're going to Isaiah chapter 47. We're going to look at Babylon a little further. You know what is really amazing? How the Babylonian religion had completely taken over in Judah, in Jerusalem. They had a temple, but they were practicing mysticism, the Babylonian Talmud. True Israel waited for the Messiah to come. But in Jerusalem, they practiced another religion. And you know what's really something is when Jesus died on the cross, remember he hung there on the cross and he said, it is finished. Blood flowing from him. There he was forgiving all those, not only there, but going all the way down the corridor of time to right now. That same power of forgiveness and remission of sins is available this morning. But he hung there on the cross, and when all was done and all was accomplished, he said, it is finished. And the Bible says in that temple, the veil was rent, ripped apart from the top, it says. That was God. That was God. It was rent from the top to the bottom and fell open. It was a hand of Almighty Jehovah, Almighty Yah. They ripped that thing from the top to the bottom. And do you know what happened? Remember back in the old days, they had the tabernacle, and behind that veil was the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat. Inside of it, of course, was Aaron's rod that budded, the tables of the law, and the pot of manna. And there was a covenant, there was a token of the covenant. A covenant that the people of Israel could never keep, never did keep. That's why God sent his son, Jesus. That's why God was manifested in the flesh. Because when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son made of a woman, made under the law. Notice it doesn't say made of a man and woman. No, no. Made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Nobody could keep that covenant. Nobody, and nobody ever did. But he himself came down and put himself as a human under his own law. And he kept the covenant as a man, the son of a woman without the agency of a man. Remember, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Remember that? There was no human father of Jesus. And when he came forth, he kept that covenant. And he kept that law perfectly. No one's ever done it or kept any part of it perfectly before. It's never been done. Still can't be done. And so he kept it. But back there in the days of Babel, when the Babylonians came in, there was a huge temple built by Solomon. Beautiful building, glistened in the sunlight. Oh, it was wonderful. It was awesome. And behind that veil in that temple, just like the tabernacle in the wilderness, there was the Ark of the Covenant. But because Israel was so persistent in going after witchcraft, 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 up in the hills, under the full moon, under the oak trees, rites of passage, rituals, incantations, wild sex orgies, all these things going on. They were enticed by all of this. They went up there, did all of these things, and kept doing it. And God was merciful. He'd raise up a prophet or a deliverer and straighten them out for a little while. They'd go right back to the hog wallow. Do it again. Do it again. This kept on all the time. It was a continual toggling between repentance and doing evil. Repentance and doing evil. They could not deal with the witchcraft. It enticed them so much because of all the pleasures of the flesh that were a part of it. So finally, God said, that is enough. It is enough. You have changed your gods. You have taken on other gods, something no other nation has ever done, changed their gods. You have committed two evils. You forsook the living water and you hewed out for yourselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Read Jeremiah chapter 2. As a result, he allowed Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian armies to circle around Jerusalem. And as historical references tell us, the siege was for 666 days. And finally, they went in. Many were carried off into Babylon. They pillaged the temple. They took all the vessels out of the temple, including that ark. God had forsaken it. He said, I have divorced my wife. Remember? Where is the bill of your divorcement? But he divorced his wife. And he took another one, but not until. What's the only thing that can end a marriage? Death. Jesus died. The Son of God died. Otherwise, he could not take a bride. Death had to separate that marriage. You see? If that holds true, certainly holds true in marriages of his children. Till death do you part. As long as you both shall live. Of course, they've changed that ceremony now in many cases to as long as ye both shall love. Is that a recipe for trouble? And so the ark, the temple, the vessels of the temple, all forsaken at that point in time. God said he would once again restore the temple, which he did in the days of Jesus. But Jesus was the true temple, remember? And so that building was destined to be crashed down. Of course, you know, at that time, they actually had a special segment in the temple set aside to honor the Sodomites. Read it. No church would ever do that today, would they? See these Methodist ministers with their rainbow stoles on there to welcome the queers? Oh, it's going on. Everything that happened back then is happening all over again right now. So that ark was taken. They probably melted it down for the gold, dismantled it. Because I'll tell you where the true ark is. There's a temple in heaven. There's an ark up there. It has blood on it, but not animal blood. It's the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who ended all animal sacrifice forever. Do you know what some of these people are teaching? Do you ever hear this doctrine of the red heifer? They're trying to, you know, they read about the ashes of the red heifer and the old covenant. And by the way, there is no old covenant anymore. It's gone, folks. Read it in Hebrews 8:13. It's vanished away. There's no old covenant. People who think that there are some people still under the old covenant are wrong, because there is no old covenant to be under. Either you are in the new covenant of Jesus Christ, or you're not a child of God. No matter what you think your race or pedigree is, we are saved not by race, but by grace. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not that of works, lest any man should boast. But you know what they're doing? They're saying we are cloning and genetically manufacturing a red heifer. They've come close. They got one now that has three white hairs on it. They can't quite get it. You know what? They never will. Here's what they're teaching. And I'll tell you what, if this doesn't send ice cubes down your backbone, I don't know what will. They're teaching now that a lot of these fundamentalists, that when they get that red heifer is going to walk up Calvary's Hill and turn and look at the city of Jerusalem and then go to die for them. That red heifer will climb that hill and turn and look. They might as well go and worship Hinduism, a Brahmin bull. And I do mean bull. They might as well. That a red heifer is going to atone for me. The Bible says it's impossible. You hear that word? Impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to atone for sin. It can't be done. Oh, I'll tell you what. Our Lord and Savior, what a grief it must be for Him to watch this. He was grieved over that city. I believe He still looks at that, and what He must feel, I can't imagine. The spirit of Babylon. But here's the point I wanted to come to. When Jesus hung on that cross, remember, all was gone. So they were going through all the motions of this Judaism, as it were, in Jerusalem, right? They would have all the different feasts and they would carry the blood. Remember what Jesus, when they're trying to carry a vessel of blood, He refused. He said He would not allow them to do that in the temple. He stood there. He shut that down. And when Jesus died on the cross, what was such a shock to the people is they got an opportunity to see for the first time what their religion had been all about. For when God rent that veil from the top to the bottom, there was supposed to be the holiest of all, and there was no ark in there. It was empty. You mean we were doing all this and that priest was going through the motions and nobody could go and look? Nobody could go behind that curtain. Remember the Wizard of Oz? Huh? Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain, pulling these levers. And they thought they had the same religion going, and there was an ark back there. People didn't know. And our Lord ripped that from the top to the bottom, said, here's what you've got. You've got nothing. An empty chamber. Because the true ark is what matters. Because it's the ark of the new covenant with the blood of Jesus sprinkled upon the mercy seat in heaven. The temple in heaven will be opened. It isn't yet, but it will be opened. Bible tells you when it will be opened. But what we need to be concerned about is the Lord Jesus is our temple. Amen. He is our light. He is our atonement. He's everything. He's our all in all. He's every one of the feast days. He is our Sabbath. He is our rest. We rest in Him. Isn't it true? What have we that's of any value that's outside of Jesus Christ? How much of the old covenant must I resurrect and apply to myself? He is my all in all. I can have no peace or rest without the Prince of Peace. Remember Isaiah 28:11? For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, "This is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing." Yet they would not hear. They wouldn't hear. What did they do instead? Would you like to see? We're in Isaiah anyway. Hold your page and flip back a little bit with me to Isaiah 28. I quoted verse 11 for you and verse 12. And verse 13 says, "But the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little." But watch. They didn't hear it. They didn't take heed to it, because it says that they might go and fall backward. Are there any people nowadays in these charismatic circles falling backwards? Huh? That they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. And these people say, "Oh, we're slain in the Spirit." The Spirit didn't come to slay you, came to save you. And they fall backwards. Why? Because it says they are snared, they are taken in their unbelief. Spirit of Babylon has gotten a hold of them. They fall backwards. Benny Hinn whooshes them backwards. Kenneth Copeland whooshes them backwards. Eyes roll back in their head. Foam comes out of their mouth. Oh, they're getting blessed. I don't think so. I don't think it's a great blessing to fall backwards anyway. It's bad enough when it happens by accident, you know. You find people falling on their faces before the Lord, then you know what you're doing. Or you lay before the Lord or put your head between your knees like Elijah, but you don't find any of the people of God falling backwards unless they were snared and taken. But that's their big thing. Oh, a touch of the Spirit knocked me right over. He didn't come to knock you over. He came to get you on your knees, get you praying. Anyway, so back to Isaiah 47. I've got to do this quickly. As a matter of fact, if I don't finish it, and we still have a Wednesday, I may try and do it then. And so I know some of you can't be here, but you can request the tapes. And we don't sell anything, but we're glad to give them to you. So let us know. But here it says in Isaiah 47, "Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans." What happened to the throne of Babylon? I believe our Lord Jesus cast it down. "For thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate." Have you noticed the women of today, not those of you, but out there in general? Have you noticed? They're not tender and delicate anymore. They're tough. Huh? They want to get grease on their hands and be auto mechanics and work their way into the government, be men. Remember Janet Reno? Was she tender and delicate? Huh? There was a song sung about her a long time before she took office by Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons. "Walk like a man." Huh? "Walk like a man, talk like a man." These women out in the world want to be men. I have never yet seen a woman that makes a good man. Neither a man that makes a good woman. But that's the spirit of Babylon that causes that. And they want to be tough, and you can see it on their faces. They're hard and they're rough. And they're going to wear studs and spikes and punch holes through their ears and through all their nostrils and their eyebrows. They're going to be, just hear them roar. You know what I'm talking about. They're not tender and delicate. Thank God for tender and delicate women. Well, amen. Amen. My mother left this earth in 86. And my dad back in 72. They would have never believed this. They would never have believed this. My dad looked at the Beatles and the Ed Sullivan Show, and he shook his head. He said, he was born in 1911. You know, he just He saw these girls tearing their hair out, tears running down their face. Oh, he saw that, and he just shook his head. He said, it's the end of the world. Huh? And people would worship something like that. Boy, if he could see it now. And so it says, thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind meal. Uncover thy locks, make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered. Let me just pause here for a second. Scripture talks here about how women should keep their thighs covered. Oh, now he's going to be a clothesline preacher. Somebody better say something. Huh? Make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not meet thee as a man. How do men meet these women? Woo, you know, wolf whistle. Huh? God's going to look at them. He's not going to meet them as a man. He's going to see all the adulterous thoughts they produced in all the men because they made bare the thigh, uncovered the leg, and showed their nakedness. Is this preaching too old-fashioned? Or is it still appropriate? And I don't even do it that much. But I feel the Lord moving upon me, and so I just move with His impulse. Sit thou silent. That's God's way of saying, shut up. Praise the Lord. Sit thou silent and get thee into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called the lady of kingdoms. See, that's the problem. We have all the children of the Babylonian kingdom dressing according to the Babylonian garments and boogieing to Babylonian music. The spirit of Babylon is out there, and it has molded and shaped a generation ready for the picking by the Antichrist, ready for his marking and his insistence on absolute servitude. God said, I was wroth with my people. I have polluted mine inheritance and given them into thine hand. Thou didst show them no mercy. Upon the ancient hast thou very heavily laid thy yoke. The spirit of Babylon has come into the realm of God's people, trying to make them into Babylonians, and has laid heavy burdens upon them, young and old. And by the way, who bears the burden of Babylonian taxation? Well, the middle class, which is why it's disappearing. There are going to be two classes of people very soon, the upper crust Illuminists and the common herd. The common herd. That's what it's becoming very, very quickly. And as I always like to say, you know, and really this is true, the upper crust really is nothing more than a bunch of crumbs held together with a lot of dough. Right? Huh? That's all it is. But there are two classes forming. Middle class is disappearing. And thou saidest, I shall be a lady forever. And they even marked their chief city with a lady, didn't they? Statue of Liberty. So that thou didst not lay these things to thy heart, neither didst remember the latter end of it. You're not supposed to look to the end, so you might figure things out. They don't want you to project. They don't want you to think. They want you to listen to Rush Limbaugh. He'll do your thinking for you. He has half his brain tied behind his back, remember? Maharishi? He's an Illuminist and a Freemason. That poor man who only makes $70 million a year salary. Not counting the things he sells and endorses. $70 million. I couldn't eat that much candy. Therefore, hear now this, thou that art given to pleasures, that dwellest carelessly. That's our country, folks, given to pleasures and dwelling carelessly. That sayest in thine heart, I am, and none else beside me. I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. But these two things shall come upon thee in a moment, in one day, the loss of children and widowhood. That means God would absolutely forsake this nation. Because God never forsakes widows and children. You see, this is an expression that God has forsaken the country. They shall come upon thee in their perfection, meaning in their fullness. For the multitude of thy sorceries, is there any witchcraft in this country being practiced anywhere? And for the great abundance of thine enchantments, all of Hollywood, all of television, all of the things going on, sorcery, enchantments. In fact, the witches out there, one of the things they're taught, and by the way, Harry Potter books and movies are witchcraft training tools. You knew that, didn't you? They teach astrology. They teach you how to read the tarot cards. All of that is taught at Hogwarts School. So children go and they learn that, and they learn all about this. Sorceries, of course, the word for sorcery, you go in the New Testament, is pharmakia from the Greek. Pharmacy. Sorcery, same thing. Did you ever see the RX? Symbol for Jupiter? Or Zeus? That's what it is. Did you ever stop to think that the word capital, such as the Capitol in Madison, like a building, a capital building, the word capital means Temple of Zeus? Look it up. It's in the dictionary. Temple of Zeus. I walked around there last Friday. I walked around the Capitol Square. I like to go on these little prayer walks. I walked around there. I looked at that thing. It is a temple. And people who go in there are going to church. It's a beast with all of its marble deadness, marble monuments and statues and paintings and dead this and dead that. That's what it is. Astrology all over the oaken archways in the governor's chamber. I've been in there. For thou hast... If somebody might be listening to this tape saying, why was he in the governor's chamber? So I better tell you, when I was working for the University of Wisconsin, I was a systems analyst and designer for locking systems. And I did a new system design plus all the work that went with it to do 11 high-rise buildings plus the other buildings in the university, 11 dormitories, I should say, with all the towers and everything. I designed a system, then I implemented it. I invented a retrofit system. I saved them $500,000. And they gave me, I think, $500 for that. And a trip to Madison, and I went to the governor's chamber, and he was too drunk to come out, and the lieutenant governor couldn't make it because he was predisposed as well, so the state treasurer, Jack Voigt, came out and gave me this little plaque, state of Wisconsin, made out of black walnut wood with a little inscription on it, honoring me for saving them $500,000. And the caterers didn't even show up, and when I bought my lunch, they said, you'd be reimbursed for that. Then they reimbursed me half. It's a crazy system. But that's why I was in the governor's office. And the zodiac carved in the wood all over, that place is a temple. For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Thou hast said, none seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee. You can have so much learning at one of these brain laundries called the university that you find as you go through it, advance through wisdom by degrees, you graduate into perversion. Well, look at it. It's absolutely amazing what they teach. And thou hast said in thine heart, I am and none else beside me. Nothing like the U.S. of A., right? Wave the flag, God bless the U.S. of A. He's supposed to look down, ignore the abortions, ignore the pornography, ignore all the vice and crime and filth. And oh yeah, he's supposed to ignore all that and bless. After all, the flag's waving, isn't it? Those originally 13 stars became 50 stars. Earth, wind, water, fire, spirit, alternating red and white stripes. You know, what has it become? It has become controlled, absolutely taken over by the spirit of Babylon. Therefore shall evil come upon thee, thou shalt not know from whence it riseth. They don't know when the next terrorist attack's coming. Some people do. In the White House, they know when it's coming. They know where it's going to hit. They understand that. It's all planned ahead of time in the chambers of the Council on Foreign Relations at 58 East 68th Street in New York City. They plan it out there. It's no surprise to them. But the people out here and many of the authorities, not everybody knows, just a select few. They have to have it that way. You have to have enough people that believe in the system to make it look authentic, to make an error look like truth. You have to have enough zealots that will support it. And it says, thou shalt not know from whence it riseth. And people don't know. They think Iraq caused it all. Iraq had nothing to do with it. Iraq is cannon fodder. And mischief shall fall upon thee. Thou shalt not be able to put it off. And so what does that mean? You'll not be able to cover it, to stop it, to put it off. And desolation shall come upon thee suddenly, which thou shalt not know. Even the economic system? Woe unto you, rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. And now England is embracing the European Union. Right? You heard about that? And of course, already they have 25 nations over there. And you can spend this anywhere. Notice their euro. It's a euro, 20 euros. Which started out being worth under a dollar, and now it's worth, I believe, about $1.28, $1.30. Rapidly rising in strength. What do they have on here? Cathedral windows. On the back, they have these, they have the countries of Europe, and they have these ellipses, like we have in Washington. Well, next comes the Amero, when Mexico and Canada mix their currency with ours, and we have the Amero instead of the dollar, the Amero dollar. Then they'll unify that, and pretty soon it'll be all electronic. I mean, this was unthinkable years ago, 25 nations under one currency. Can you see it being fulfilled? What's happening to our own dollar? I just traded some foreign currency in. They're all way up over the dollar. They're way on the dollar, I should say. Australia was always 56 cents, 54 cents. Now it's 86 cents. I know because I cashed 100 of them in on Friday. And I saw the little book she had. She said, oh yeah, the dollar is way down in everything here. It's all a part of the plot to bring it together. The spirit of Babylon is at work. Well, let me finish this up so we can close and go into prayer. And so God said, you'll not be able to put off this evil, the desolation, that it'll come suddenly. You'll not know it. Suddenly. Stand now with thine enchantments. Notice he challenges this spirit and these people involved. And with the multitude of thy sorceries, wherein thou hast labored from thy youth. From our country's inception, our government had astrology in it. Ronald Reagan, remember Nancy Reagan saying that every summit meeting, every decision Ronald Reagan made was made based on astrology. So who was running the country? The astrologers and Satan. If so be thou shalt be able to profit, if so be thou mayest prevail, thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Oh, we have counsels all the time, don't we? Summits and meetings and councils. Let now the astrologers and the stargazers, see how the Lord is chiding with them in judgment? The monthly prognosticators stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee. Behold, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There shall not be a coal to warm at, nor a fire to sit before it. Thus shall they be unto thee with whom thou hast labored, even thy merchants. Who's involved in all this? Buying and selling, the mark of the beast, merchants, from thy youth. They shall wander every one to his quarter. None shall save thee. Why? There's only one who could, and they've rejected him. Would you stand with me? Father in heaven, we are thankful for thy word. I pray that it would be burned within us so that we would never forget it. O Lord, let it move us unto prayer and obedience. And help us to glorify thee because we know that soon thou art coming to receive us unto thyself. Let thy will be done, O Lord. We look for thy second coming today. We look for the end of all things and the beginning of all things new. Lord, let our hearts be made new this morning, totally and completely yielded unto thee. And we ask it in Jesus' name through the power of the blood. Amen.